reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise, and do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus charged them, "Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. So in the Army, there's this duty that really nobody likes to do. There's a job that nobody likes. In the military police, when they're in a war zone, combat zone, there's not much to do other than stand away. And so one of their jobs or duties is to literally stand in the middle of nowhere. Kind of seems pointless. So you're standing there twiddling your thumbs. You don't get to do much of anything fun. You're just standing there doing nothing. But what their actual job is to direct traffic. Again, you're probably thinking, in the middle of nowhere, why would you need to direct traffic? There's no cars, there's no trucks, there's nothing for miles except maybe desert and forest. But what they're there to do is to point. When you have this long convoy coming down the road, and the first car tells you, "Oh, we have 20 in this convoy." Convoys are usually spread out sometimes a mile apart from the beginning to the end, to where the person in the front car can't communicate with the person in the last car. And so they tell them when they pass by, "Oh, we've got like 20 in the convoy." Go by, you count to 19, it's like, "Oh, awesome." Still no way to contact the person a mile away until it stops and you can regroup and get up. So there's this, the primary goal of these guys, this military police squad, standing in the middle of nowhere, is when you have that one lost little truck driving down the road, they're there to point them in the right direction. Can you imagine them being that truck? It'd been probably miles since you've seen the last car in the convoy, the guy right in front of you. You don't see tracks, you don't see a smoke trail, you don't see the dust from where they were going. Probably like, was I supposed to turn somewhere? I lost? Did I lose the trail? Am I going in the wrong direction? Am I going to run into enemies? You start freaking out. Until you see that traffic light that the military police has set. What relief there is to know that you're safe, that you didn't get lost, that you're not going to get in a whole lot of trouble for losing a truck that belongs to the U.S. government. There's relief. Having someone there to point the direction, to assuage your fears, to tell you that everything's okay, just go this way. This is what's happening in today's gospel. Christ has just shared with his apostles that he would have to suffer and die. We can kind of imagine the state of mind in which they live. The man whom they believe to be God just told them that, "Oh yeah, I'm God, but I'm going to die. I'm going to be handed over to the authorities and put to death. Crucified." must have been an immense amount of fear and doubt beginning to creep in. Is this guy really who he says he is? Am I crazy for following this man into the desert, to following him all over town, giving up my life, my livelihood, my family, everything for this man? Am I a weak God? Am I crazy? But the transfiguration for the apostles was much like the MPs in the lost vehicle of convoy. What relief the apostles must have felt to see Christ in his glory, shining brightly. To hear the words of the Father, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And immediately, every fear they had is gone. Every doubt they had is disappeared. As they believe now. The fear that they felt in the midst, in between, from the time they meet Christ to the time of the actual resurrection, think of them as two pillars or two mountaintops. They meet Christ like, "Oh, hey, this is cool. He's the Messiah." And then slowly but surely, there's this valley. This valley of fear and worry and doubt. And actively seeing him being put to death. So what this transfiguration acts as is, we have the two hills, the two mountaintops. Transfiguration is kind of a site. It's a guidepost, a sign that says, "Hey, everything's not lost." It's a reminder of what's to come in the days and weeks ahead for both Christ and the apostles. The coming journey is hazardous, and Christ knows it. There will be trials and tribulations. There will be triumphs and losses. There will be grief and joy. There will be moments when the entire endeavor seems lost, that there's no hope, that evil will win out over good. So it's fitting that Christ will reveal his glory to the apostles, to give them a foretaste of the Easter, the resurrection to come after the cross, after all the pain, after all the suffering. My brothers and sisters, transfiguration is much the same for us. It's a sort of guidepost, pointing the way, reminding us of what's to come after all the pain and suffering. Reminding us that Christ is already victorious. That even if we have gone through a few dozen crosses, and maybe even if we have a few dozen more to get through, there is still hope. Christ has already won. Christ is already victorious. Transfiguration reminds us that no matter what the cross we're bearing or will bear, resurrection